All right, so from crisis to victory, the crisis of disobedience in Eden resulted in humanity's enslavement and sin. Furthermore, the whole world now lies in the power of the evil one, of course, our good friend Satan there. Yet the anticipation of victory over evil was already declared in Eden before the infestation started spreading across the crushed landscape. The seed of Eve was prophesied to crush the head of the serpent. At the very moment, I mean, you know, God comes and says, on your belly you will crawl, and your seed and their expulsion from the garden. But it's a foregone conclusion already. Yeah, it's
a done deal, right?
There's your gospel message. Yeah. You have creation, one. You have order, two. The fall in Genesis 3. And then slightly into Genesis 3, you also have, here's the end of the story.
That's right.
Well, this
yeah, you don't have to read this anymore,
is a terrible
right?
story. Yeah. how dare you give me the ending to it? So how is Satan defeated, though? Christ defeats Satan, again, the Christus victor, by removing the ground of Satan's accusation, which Jesus does by paying the penalty of sin, as we call it, penal substitution there.
Right. So he's defeated by his inability to, even though he is the accuser, Christ removes the ground. Yeah. He removes the ground out from under him, so we can't be accused anymore. It's a done deal, right? It's been paid for. Right. So it's no longer can he accuse us.
Right. Again, this idea of law and court and order and reignship and kingship is there. From Job to the garden motif spread throughout the entirety of the Bible, and it's not you know, cartoons of the devil and God grabbing different people and saying, "Ooh, this one's mine." It's no, they're all God's, and Satan is allowed to operate within the confines of God's kingdom.
Right. And so, you know, this Christus Victor ceases to be victory without, Christensen tells us, penal substitutionary atonement, right? In other words, taking our place. The New Testament consistently links Christ's triumph over evil and satanic powers by means of his atoning sacrifice on the cross. So Paul, in Galatians 1:4, gives a clear expression of this when he says that Christ gave himself for our sins, there it is, right, to deliver us from this present evil age, right?
All right, so putting sin and Satan in perspective, very important. The sacrificial judicial orientation in which Scripture situates the atonement places Christ's victory over the forces of evil in perspective. We dare not emphasize the defeat of satanic powers at the expense of Christ's defeat of human sin. Bondage to Satan has resulted from rebellion against God. That's you are slaves to your children of your father, the devil. Christ subscribes that to the Jewish leaders, and something unfathomable unless if it's true. And so if the holiest men who take the 600 and some odd laws and then apply even more laws to it to try and get you to be holy.
Right. And God's chosen people, right, who he separated and redeemed, right, in the Exodus, right?
Yeah. But nope, not good enough. You're still slave to Satan here. So that bondage to Satan has resulted from rebellion against God. Sin is not primarily the result of Satan's assault on our parents, Adam and Eve. Scripture lays the primary emphasis on Adam's disobedience to God. It's not Satan came in and he took Adam's hand and he placed it on the apple and then he brought it to his mouth and chomped his chompers and massaged his throat so he swallowed and like, oh, look, he did it.
That's right.
No.
The devil made me do it.
Yeah, right. He might have the hissing in your ear, but it's still primarily on us.
And yeah, so that's right.
He is not an innocent victim of Satan's evil, but a willing participant in the plot to overthrow God's authority.
Yeah. So even though Christ defeated Satan, the issue was our sin, man's sin, right? And so we can't blame all of that. We can't blame it on Satan.
Right.
It was the decision, the choice that Adam made to sin, basically to rebel against God, to go against his commandments. Right. And that was the issue that needed to be dealt with.
Yeah. If it was the other way, then the judgment would just be against Satan in the garden.
Right.
All right, out of here, and then some other means would be employed. But he's cast out, but he still has some leeway into the kingdom by we see in Job 1 there. But Adam and Eve are thrust away from the garden. They're clothed. They're hidden as they wanted to be hidden in the garden. Their special relationship that they had walking with God in the coolness of the garden, an intimate relationship that doesn't come up until Abraham, a friend of God, Moses, a friend of God, David, a friend of God. That close relationship is ascribed to each of those men, showing God entering into that and the covenants that are made within the scope of those men.
Yeah. And so Satan, you know, Christensen tells us, is certainly an accessory to Adam's crimes, right? He's a super villain.
He's the gun.
That's right. In a multifaceted story, it must be defeated. But he only draws attention to the real problem, the problem of sin that has ruined, humankind's relationship with its creator, possessor, and Lord. Pain, suffering, guilt, shame, together with universal physical and spiritual corruption and death in the cosmos have resulted in the crisis of human rebellion,
right?
So it's us. It's not just on Satan.
Right.